Lex Brown hadn't been going to his new school for long, but there was at least one thing just about anyone could tell you about him. He loved his family. This can be seen in the way that the 15-year-old's life was taken far too soon. While playing around in the Wabash River, his 9-year-old brother got swept away in the current. Without hesitating, the teen dived in after him. Although Lex was successful in pushing his little brother towards safety, he quickly got caught up in the current himself. Sadly, this is how Lex drowned. Ever since that day, family and friends have taken time to celebrate this young hero. And all this happened in Indiana, USA, just 3 weeks ago. Well, the title this morning for the sermon, as you can see there, is Joseph Saves His Brothers. And the strap line is what Joseph said at the end to his brothers. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. In other words, we see the two there. We see the sinfulness of man and the goodness of God. The sinfulness of man and the goodness of God. So as we look today at the Old Testament, let's consider Joseph. He is important because of the amount of Genesis given over to his life. 14 chapters of the 50 chapters in Genesis. His birth is there in chapter 30, and then from 36 to the end, it's all about Joseph. So Joseph and the events of his life are important, and we must consider them. God had said to Abraham that his seed will be a blessing to the world. Was it Isaac? No, it wasn't. How about Jacob? No, it wasn't. How about one of Jacob's many sons? Could it be Joseph? It wasn't. But look at Joseph, or his father Jacob, or his father Isaac, the patriarchs, and you see the likeness of the promised seed, the one who was to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those in the royal line were but precursors of the true Son to come. And let us now see that the likeness of Jesus is shown manifest in these patriarchs, and particularly as we look at Joseph this morning. Well, we read Genesis chapter 37, and it would take far too long, of course, to read all the way through the life of Joseph. So let me just summarise by picking out some of the key points, which reminds you what you no doubt already know. That Joseph was sold as a slave by his brothers. He went down to Egypt. He ended up becoming the leader of the country. There was a great famine. He stored up food. His brothers came to him and they were saved from death through the famine. So that in a nutshell is what happened. Jacob was the father of 12 sons who would become the 12 tribes of Israel. But not until towards the end did his wife Rachel, the wife he loved, bear him a child. Her first child was Joseph. She then bore him Benjamin. But Joseph was the father's favourite. The father's favourite. Verse 3. Jacob, or Israel, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And his love for him was obvious, wasn't it? He made a richly ornamented robe for him. The father looked upon him as his uniquely special son. So we see the commendation of Jesus, don't we? Through the waters of baptism, a voice from heaven said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So Jesus was that uniquely special son. Although Jesus is the creator God, he came into this world, took on flesh, was born of a woman as we all are, and as such descended from Adam. And therefore he is our brother in Adam. And as such he's a fitting saviour for the human race. The one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family, says Hebrews 2. He too shared in our humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, but that is the devil. In other words, the power of the devil, who is called the accuser, accuses us and he points his finger at us and says, "Guilty, guilty." But the blood of Christ has removed the guilt of my sin. I am now, having received the righteousness of Christ, declared innocent before God. And that is what Christ our brother came into this world to do. He is our substitute as he died on that cross. So the Father sent the Son into this world on a rescue mission to seek and to save the lost. The Father sent the Son, and Jesus left the glory of the Father's side and came to us. And we sung right at the beginning of the service, didn't we, in that lovely hymn, And Can It Be, these words. He emptied himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless race. So too Joseph left his father, who said to him, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them. To which Joseph replied, very well. A bit like as Jesus said, here I am, it is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God. Verse 14, so Jacob, the father, said to him, go and see if all is well with your brothers and bring word back to me. Well, Joseph went off to see his brothers. And what did he find? A great welcome? No, they were scheming to kill him, weren't they? And we read verse 4, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Hatred lurks deep in the human heart. And since the fall in the Garden of Eden, man's corrupted heart sets man against man, brother against brother, sister against sister. By God's grace, we're not as bad as we could be or can be. And by God's grace, we're not at each other's throats. But nonetheless, the heart is naturally hostile to things of God and therefore our fellow man. Our hearts hate to have God reigning over us. Isn't it true? Everywhere you look, you see man against man, man's natural hatred of his fellow man. Well, what did Jesus find when he left the Father's side and came into this world? He came to his own, but his own received him not. The most holy man who's ever walked this earth was hated. As he said, they hated me without reason. And if you remember early on, even his own brothers, we are told, did not believe in him. The more Jesus revealed the truth of God, the more they could see his deity, the more many rejected him. You are a king then, said Pilate. And Jesus answered, you are right in saying that I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Well, the truth of God was revealed to Jacob in the dreams, and they pointed to his lordship. Joseph's dreams. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, when the truth of God was revealed through those dreams, it says they hated him all the more. Are things well with your brothers, Joseph? No, they are not. All is not well. They scheme against him, and the Ishmaelites are coming along, and so they sell him as a slave to these traders. They wouldn't bow down to him, not yet, but they will be bowing down to him a bit later. Do you notice that? Sold as a slave. The price of a slave, 20 pieces of silver. Does that remind you of somebody sold for the price of a slave? It was 30 then, wasn't it, with Jesus those years later? And Joseph is taken to Egypt, the land of slavery, and he's as good as dead, and his father thinks him as dead and grieves deeply for him. So Jesus became a servant or a slave. It's the same word. He entered this dark world of slavery and death and took death onto himself. Was Jesus sufficient for the task? He was, because he was tempted as Adam and Eve were. He was tempted as we are, and yet gave no ground. So the next thing we read about Joseph, when he goes to Egypt, he's sold to Potiphar to be a servant in the household, and there he is sorely tempted. Potiphar's wife tries to draw him, a temptation of the flesh, just like turning those stones into bread when Jesus was tempted was a temptation of the flesh. But Joseph stands firm, He refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Well, after the temptation, the punishment, having stood the temptation, the darkness of the prison cell awaits him. And there are two others with him in prison as well, aren't there? I mean, there are many others, but two are mentioned. Just as Jesus is beside two criminals when he dies on the cross. One was condemned, if you remember, and one was saved. So too it was with Pharaoh's cupbearer and his baker. One was condemned and the other saved. And their fortunes, Joseph accurately predicts. And to the baker we are told, "Within 3 days Pharaoh will lift up your head and hang you on a tree." The bread of the body is broken, as with Jesus. But the blood prevailed as the cupbearer is restored. So Joseph was restored when he heard and interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, in which he made known the judgment of God to come. Pharaoh told the dream, and Joseph alone could interpret it. Just like Jesus alone can interpret the unfolding purposes of God. Jesus alone is the only one worthy to unfold the scroll of God's eternal plan. Well, in God's judgment, there was a widespread famine, and the result is death. And the only remedy to that is to do what Joseph says, the actions of Joseph. "Do what he says and you will live." And that's what Pharaoh said, wasn't it? "For without your word, no one will lift a hand or foot in Egypt." As this is chapter 41, verse 44, if you happen to be following through. "Without me, you can do nothing," said Jesus. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Does that remind you of someone else who started his ministry at the age of 30? And went out and preached throughout the land the gospel of salvation. And so Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and travelled throughout Egypt. And you know the story of how Joseph built up the storehouses and filled them with grain so that all who came to him could be saved from death. And so we move on, don't we, to Joseph's brothers coming to find food in Egypt. And they're sent by their father Jacob. So we are like those brothers. We are commanded to come to the Son, our perfect brother and saviour, the Lord Jesus, that we may be saved from death. They were driven by the famine. But oh, how the trials and difficulties and miseries of this life should drive us to the Saviour, the one who can save us. Psalm 107 says these words, "Some were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." I wonder if you're here this morning, some of you may be, because you're hungry. The best offerings of this world have left you empty, famished and dry. If that is you, then come to the Saviour. Come to the one place where there is food. Come to the bread of life. Are you hungry? Is your soul starved in this world and hungry for the God who made you? If that is you, then obey the command and respond to the invitation. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. There it is. Such was the invitation, but such is the invitation now. It still stands. And you can respond. You can do so today, now. It's free. You can drink freely from the fount of living water. Grace is not something you can buy. Do you remember they tried to pay for their grain with silver, but it was returned to them. You cannot buy this, a gift. The silver was found in their sacks, wasn't it, when they went back. This grain, this food, is free. The grace of God is always free. You can never do anything to contribute to it, to earn it, to buy it. It's free. How foolish not to come to the Lord. How foolish to choose to starve when there is food in Christ in abundance. And that's the gospel of God's grace. Salvation, rich and free. And how wonderful it is. You saved our lives, said those who came to Joseph for food. May we find favour in the eyes of the Lord. And he amply supplied them. And they go on to declare their allegiance to a new master. That's Genesis 47:25. Remember, they were driven by the famine to go to Egypt, to Joseph. And yet, it was the Father who sent them, wasn't it? So we may be driven by life's experiences to be thrown on the Lord. And yet, the Father has to enable us to do so. Has the Father sent you to the Son? Has he enabled you to come to him? He must send you. God the Father must enable you. Has that happened? It has to happen. In fact, Joseph beckoned them, saying, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. Is that like the words of Jesus who says, come to me, come to me, come to me? Well, as you know, it's a really lovely story, isn't it, of them meeting Joseph. They meet the one once imprisoned, the one who suffered, the slave who is now King Joseph. He's the one who promises deliverance if they obey his words. They do that and he will be saved. On the third day, this is Genesis 42, says, on the third day, Joseph said to them, do this and you will live. And then we have the chapters 43 and 44. They're full of tension, aren't they, those chapters? And why is that? Because the brothers, their sin is being exposed. And it's painful. It has to be exposed. It has to be dealt with. We are honest men, they said. We are honest men. How many can say that? Do you say that? Do you believe that about yourself? Are you still believing you're a good person? Do you compare yourself with someone else and think you're a good person? Compare yourself with a model of perfection, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved God with all his heart and soul and mind and strength and loved his neighbour, loved his enemy, all of the time. That is the standard. If we're not that standard, we're a sinner. And we're a sinner in need of saving. That's the bar. If you still think you're a good person, you will not find salvation. One day the truth of that will be exposed and all of your heart will be laid bare. It'll be a horrible, dreadful day. Much better to scream and cry and be concerned now. Confess your sin while you can. That's what the cross is all about. He took the punishment, the darkness, the banishment from the presence of God. Jesus bore away the sin of others for the repentant sinner to find salvation. There's no way round. Those brothers found that they couldn't just receive it and go. They had to have their sin dealt with. And they did. And it's only through Christ crucified. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote a book and the title was The Plight of Man and the Power of God. We're all stuck in our miserable plight, and yet God has the power to pull us out of it. There is the will, and there is the power to do it. He can rescue us from where we are and take us to somewhere else. Has that happened to you? Could you come up the front and tell us what the Lord has done in your life, as many have over the years here? Could you stand up and say, I was like this, and then the Lord came and changed me, and now I'm like that? Hear the words of Psalm 32, the one before the psalm we read earlier. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. Is that you? Are you sure? If you have no confidence or assurance of sins forgiven, then do not remain silent. hear what David said. Well, he said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Do you feel that heaviness? Away from God, on your own, things not working as they should. Is there a darkness over your heart and life, a confusion, a fear? Well, David said, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Well, we don't really experience that in this country, but you go to a really hot country and you find that the heat just is overwhelming. You just feel immobile, knocked out, exhausted. You can't do anything. Well, that's how David felt. And then he says, I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Wonderful. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while he may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, the flood of God's judgment comes up. They will not reach him. So those brothers needed their sins to be exposed and dealt with. And the day came when their eyes were finally opened and they recognized Joseph for who he was. And in fact, Joseph made himself known, didn't he, to them. And what a joyful, tearful time that was. Have your eyes been opened to see who Jesus is? Has Christ made himself known to you? Has that been that joyful time? Or suddenly seeing him as he is? Well, the brothers are forgiven. Their past sins are taken away. And Joseph says to them, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. It was a deliverance. What a deliverance. Joseph looks after them and they live in safety and security in the land of Egypt. So there's a quick snapshot, if you like, of the life of Joseph and how many similarities there are with Jesus. Joseph saved his brothers as Jesus came to save his brothers, us in Adam. And at the end of the book, in Genesis 50, if you do want to turn to it, verse 19, just prior to Joseph's death, he said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. So in summary, how unable Joseph's brothers were to change their hearts. How unable they were to change their circumstances. The famine came and there was nothing they could do about it. My friends, the Lord will bring a host of things into your life. But he can change you. He can change everything. We cannot affect a change within or without. My immovable sin separates me from God and he does not hear. But by God's grace, he can intervene and he will intervene. He'll find that key that fits the heart. What a good God it is who's able to overcome the hardness of my heart and pour love in instead. How amazing it is that the Lord can take my stubbornness away and give me love instead. How wonderful it is he can take away the resistance of the heart and put love in instead. So there we have Joseph who came to save his brothers, just as the Lord Jesus came, the God of heaven who sent his one and only Son to be our brother and saviour, to save and to keep for eternity. Well, Joseph, like Jesus, was rejected and banished. Joseph, like Jesus, disappeared and then came back as ruler of all, as Lord of all, as King. How gracious, how loving, how good it is to know the Lord our God. If he gave everything for me, how much should I not hold from him but give him all as well? So may the Lord excite us as we see some of these characters in the Old Testament and see how the Lord deals wonderfully with them. Amen.